You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Well, hello and welcome again to Riverside's online gathering. My name's Keith, I'm one of the leaders around our church. And today we're continuing on in our sermon series, which we're looking at the book of Hebrews together. And it's been a while since we pointed out in this series that Hebrews was originally written 2,000 years ago to Jewish people who had come to become followers of Jesus. And because of their new allegiance to Jesus, they were facing lots of persecution and lots of opposition. It was written to Christians facing opposition. These Christians were being physically attacked and economically attacked because of their faith, their allegiance to Jesus. And that suffering they were experiencing was tempting them to throw in the towel. And to drift from Jesus, and to drift from the church. And so this letter was written to encourage them to persevere. Yes, things are hard, but we gotta persevere. It's worth persevering. And in today's passage, we're gonna see a brief summary of the previous sermons, actually, in this series, really. It summarizes the previous passages we've looked at together. Then it's gonna give some very practical ways to respond. Practical ways to keep strong in faith when things are hard. Ways to maintain focus on Jesus instead of giving up. Ways to keep rooted in Jesus instead of just throwing in the towel, and ways for us to continue on even when things are tough. It's a very practical passage that we have this morning. And so with that said, before we read today's text from the scriptures, let's acknowledge that the presence of God is with us. Even though we're gathered virtually, the presence of God is with us as we are gathered. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and our minds for what it is He has for us this morning. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, I pray you would give us vision of your presence, experience of your presence, a clear vision of how to respond to your grace, to your goodness, to your nearness, to your mission. And God, I pray that my words would be your words, that I would speak clearly, and that we would listen well to your scripture, God, that we would become changed people who would grow in love for each other and love for you, love for the lost, love for the poor, love for the least of these, God. Grow us in love, grow us in faith, grow us in hope. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, friends, Hebrews chapter 10 is where we're at. We'll start in verse 19, okay? Here we go. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, now whenever you see the word therefore in the scriptures, it's there for a reason. And so the therefore here signals a big shift in the letter, okay? The previous 9 chapters of Hebrews, it's been laying out how Jesus and the way of Jesus is so much better than any other way. And that these reasons given for Jesus' supremacy so far have been pretty dense theologically. It's been a very dense theological letter up to this point. Hebrews has been doctrinally packed, and it's been somewhat challenging, even for me as your pastor. It's been challenging theologically to wrap my arms around all the doctrine and theology in these first 9 chapters. It's been very powerful, yet quite dense. But now Hebrews says, therefore, brothers and sisters. See, in light of all this great theology, now here is therefore how to respond. It's a huge shift in the letter. So let's continue. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, that's a summary of chapter 4, how because of Jesus we have amazing access to God. So therefore, brothers and sisters, since we can have confidence and we can know God because of Jesus, that means that now we have, verse 20, now we have a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. That's a summary of the theology from chapter 8. In verse 21, and now since we have such a great high priest over the house of God, now that's a summary of chapters 5 through 9, how now Jesus is advocating for us and interceding for us as our great high priest. And so those opening 3 verses here summarize a lot of what we've seen leading up to this point. Therefore, in light of all this amazing theology about Jesus, how because of Christ there's this new covenant. How because of the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, there's now this new power unleashed in the world. Now because of Jesus, we have an active high priest. In light of all that amazing theology and amazing doctrine that we've seen up to this point, therefore, brothers and sisters, here's how to respond. Verse 22. let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having a heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, friends, you got to remember, again, Hebrews was written to Christians who are facing great hardship. And this brought upon the temptation to throw in the towel, to give up on faith, to drift from God, and to drift from God's church. And after all the great theology from chapters 1 through 9 in Hebrews, this section is now meant to give great direction and encouragement on how we're to stay the course. And by the way, the response here is laid out in three legs, and each leg begins with the phrase, let us, right? Verse 22, let us draw near to God, which we can do because of what faith brings. Let us draw near to God because of what faith brings. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. In verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love. And if you look at these three let us statements, they're organized around the great three Christian virtues of faith, hope, and love. Isn't that cool? It reminds me of 1 Corinthians 13, which says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love. And these same three virtues and actions are pointed out here in Hebrews. Let us draw near to God because of what faith brings. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we have professed, and we do profess. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love. Faith, hope, and love. So if you want to know how to respond to all the amazing theology we have seen in these first 9 chapters of Hebrews, Well, we respond and we live our lives in faith, and we live our lives with hope, and we live our lives in love. The writer is saying, look, I know things are tough. I know they're tough. But don't throw in the towel. I know you want to give up, but in light of how amazing Jesus is, you can have faith. In the light of how great Christ is, you can have hope. And in light of his goodness, you can have love. You can persevere and have faith and have hope and have love. It's a beautiful, beautiful charge. So friends, let's look at these three together. On the first let us statement, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The phrase that jumped out most to me this week was that phrase, come to God with a sincere heart, with a sincere heart. Now, I think it's critical, folks. I think most of us hear the word come to God with a sincere heart and we misread it completely. True sincerity means coming as you are. Talking in fake religious jargon is not sincerity. Oh, I just trust God, and I know without a doubt, even though you're doubting. True sincerity is not fake religious language. True sincerity is not covering up your doubts and your shortcomings. That's not sincere. Showing up with a happy, fake church face is not sincere. No, true sincerity is coming to God with who you are and where you are, with no pretense. There's no need to get cleaned up first. There's no need to have all the right words. The invitation, friends, is to draw near to God with a sincere heart. Draw near to God with a sincere heart. Fine. God, you want sincerity? I feel broken right now. God, you want sincerity? This COVID stuff is wearing me thin right now. You want me to be sincere, God? My faith is wavering. I mean, I read about the promises about the family of faith, but right now my family, it doesn't seem so secure. I don't see how you're working for good right now in parts of my family, God. God, I sincerely feel far from you. God, there's this physical pain in my body that's sincerely causing my heart to grow cold. Friends, that is drawing near to God with a sincere heart. You don't have to have it all together with God. Sincerity does not mean perfect. It means honest. Sincerity means being genuine with God about your feelings. You don't have to have the right words. You can tell God what you're feeling as you would your closest friend. And friends, that is possible because of the great theology from the first 9 chapters. Because Jesus is a great friend, a great high priest, an amazing God. Friends, this is genuine faith. This is genuine faith. Being sincere with God is genuine faith. So let us draw near to God with sincere hearts in the full assurance that faith brings. And when we have that transparency, we'll then have our hearts sprinkled and we'll be cleansed from our guilty consciences and have our bodies washed with pure water, the passage then says. There's this great invitation to faith that God gives us. Come as we are, and then God does a great work cleansing us and forgiving us and meeting us and caring for us. That is the invitation of faith. Let us go for it, church. Let's go for it. And then the transition to the second let us statement, which happens in verse 23. It's all about hope. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. It's so easy to lose hope, isn't it? I find it easy to lose hope. It takes lots of effort, though, to hold on to hope. And that's what this verse is pointing to. And by the way, our hope is not anchored to a one-time moment where we just gave our life to Jesus 20 years ago. No, our hope means to be anchored to Jesus day after day, hour by hour, minute by minute, where we're just holding unswervingly to the hope of Jesus. And the activity in our life, we're holding on so we don't sink, so we don't drown, so we don't get pulled away by the things of this world that glitter and shine. Hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Points out this ongoing effort to hold on. Friends, don't coast. Friends, don't be passive. Hold on to hope. And what do we hold on to? Well, the verse tells us, let us hold on unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promises is faithful. Now, that word profession, though, does remind me of my profession of faith on June 20th, 1996. I mean, 24 years ago, I stood up in a room of 500 students at a Young Life camp in upstate New York with my friend Mark Maligon on my left and other friend John Hurd on my right and my leader Bill Barton praying for me. And I stood there in a room full of people and I said, my name is Keith and today I'm giving my life to Jesus. And I stood there professing my new allegiance to Jesus. And friends, while these past 2.5 decades have been filled with lots of ups and lots of downs and with some of those downs being low, I can tell you, I can point back, I can picture it right now, I can see the room. June 20th, 1996, where I professed my faith in Christ. And Hebrews is telling me and telling us, hold on unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promises faithful. But sadly, what happens is many people have stories like me, where at one point or another in your past where you had this religious encounter with Jesus, maybe you said a prayer, maybe you said a confession, but then over time, you drifted and life just happens and we end up letting go of the hope that we put in Jesus. Instead, we put our hope somewhere else or in something else. We put our hope in a COVID-19 vaccine. We put our hope in a spouse or the potential of a spouse. We put our hope in the idea that, okay, if I just move somewhere else, then things will get better. We put our hope in the Republicans, or we put our hope in the Democrats, or we put our hope in our own preferences instead of in the truth and the word of God, or we put our hope in the ways of the world instead of placing our hope in God, who's promised to be faithful and has shown himself to be faithful time after time. Friends, it's okay to wrestle. It's okay to question. It's okay to wrestle with hard things when they come. It's normal to struggle at times. And when they too, be sincere with God, but cling to hope in the middle of your struggles, in the middle of your doubts. You got to hang on to hope. You got to hang on to hope. And we can hang on to God and have hope in God because he's shown himself faithful time after time. That's what the passage says. We have hope because God is worth having hope in. He's promised to be faithful and he's delivered on his promises. So friends, again, in light of all the great theology that we have seen in Hebrews, the first 9 chapters, let us draw near to God in faith and let us hold on to Jesus with great hope. And then the final charge, verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. In other words, you cannot live this life of faith on your own. We need each other. We need other followers of Jesus to spur one another on towards love and towards good deeds. Friends, there are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. There aren't. Now. There are plenty of lone rangers in American Christianity, but not in the kingdom of God. There are plenty of, I'm fine on my own in the American church. There's plenty of I want it my way and only my way in American Christianity, in the consumer-driven church, if you will. There are plenty of folks who have great theological head knowledge, yet they're just jerks because they haven't learned to be spurred on in love and spurred on in good, kind, loving deeds. There are plenty of people masquerading around as Christians that love poorly and have very little good deeds to show. But Riverside Church, this family of faith that I just love, let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and towards good deeds. Friends, we need each other if we're going to grow in faith. Especially when we're in a world that's consistently trying to drag us away from faith in God. We need each other in a world that's hell-bent on separating us from the hope that comes from our allegiance in Jesus. And we need each other in a world that is hostile to the radical love and the radical community that the church is called to be. We need each other. We need each other. I've grown so much in my faith these past 11 years as your pastor, because so many of you have spurred me on in love and you spurred me on in good deeds. You've challenged me and you've encouraged me. I'm so much better because of you. And I hope that some of you can look at me and say, as your pastor, you can say, Keith, you have something I can learn from. And so I'll listen to what it is you have to say and I'm going to watch how you live. And I want to be spurred on by your faith, Keith, because my faith is weak right now. It's a beautiful thing we get to do as a church, right? A few years ago, I got the privilege to go to Israel with a pastor friend of mine from Cincinnati that I just highly esteem this man, highly respect him. And nearing the end of my week with him in Israel, I was amazed how deeply he knew the scripture. And not knew the scripture just head knowledge-wise. It wasn't that I've been around people who've known the scriptures head knowledge, but there was something about Dennis that he knew the scriptures, but man, he knew the scriptures in his heart. And I just, I've never seen someone that transformed by the word of God, his heart and his character. And I just said, Dennis, how do you know the scriptures so well? I even asked him at one point, did you read a book that, like, in a very humble way, I said, is there a pastor book I can get to help me understand the scriptures like you do? And he just kind of chuckled, and he said, Keith, I don't tell many people this, but for the past 10 years or so, I've just been reading the Bible every 90 days. Every 90 days, he reads the Bible front to cover, back, front to back. 4 times a year, he reads the Bible. And friends, he's one of the most generous, loving, kind, powerful leader, genuine and kind. His intimate walk with Jesus is amazing. And friends, that has spurred me on for years, these past few years. I want to know God. I want to know the Bible the way that my friend Dennis does. I just do. It spurred me on. Friends, I want to have a heart for the poor and a heart for the marginalized and a heart for justice the way that our friend Adam Gustine in this church does. I want to pray the way that Greg Colvin prays. He just prays. Everywhere he's driving, he's praying. He doesn't listen to radio in his truck. He just prays. I want to be spurred on like that. I want to pray consistently and fervently for COVID-19 just to go away and for God to be glorified in the process of the way that Amy Hotelling prays. It's like every Zoom prayer call we have, she's there and she goes, God, and she's praying it boldly. I just prayed that COVID-19 would go away and that you'd be glorified. And her relentless prayer spurs me on in faith and how I pray. I want to have the heart of hospitality that Kari Biggers in our church has, her heart for hospitality. I love watching. I love the joyful smile, which reveals the joyful heart that Marie Starks has. Marie, I miss your hugs on Sunday mornings and your joy, the joy that you bring. I've learned so much by watching. I want to be rooted in a neighborhood and praying for a neighborhood the way that Donna Ring has been rooted in praying for a neighborhood. I want to love my wife the way Wade Stoller loves his wife. I'm a better husband because for 8 years, I got to watch Wade Stoller love his wife through stroke, love his wife through cancer, and finally love his wife through death. And I have learned so much as a man through that. I have learned how to embrace suffering and yet still follow and love Jesus by watching Sansei. In the midst of great pain, he's always had this hopeful grip on Jesus and on life, and I've learned a lot. I've been spurred on these past 3 weeks by the testimonies we've had of our seniors in these videos, Anna Fuller and Alicia and Brooklyn Humphreys. I mean, those three graduating seniors, they shared these past 3 weeks in our videos, what they've been experiencing and what they've been learning. And it's so awesome, and it's spurred me on. And I could go on and on and on. I really could about how so many of you have spurred me on towards love and good deeds. And for that, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I need you, and I need you. And we need each other. Which is why this whole COVID-19 season of social distancing has been so disrupting. And brutal. Because we need each other, and yet there's such great tension and loss because we're living not the way God wants us to live. God does not want us to be socially distant. No, he wants us to be together, spurring each other on. Not being together is a huge stumbling block in the Christian faith. A Christian who has stopped being with the church is in serious danger of losing hope and of drifting in faith, which is why this call to spur each other on towards love and good deeds is then given very clear direction in the next steps, which is verse 25. So here's how you do it. Don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, when we are isolated and we're not in a committed family of faith, when we're isolated and trying to do this life of faith on our own, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Friends, when we give up on the church, when we give up on being with fellow followers of Jesus, our faith weakens and our grip on hope loosens and our heart of love can grow cold. I need the church. You need the church. I need to be part of a body of diverse people. I don't just need a handful of friends that tell me what I want to hear. No, I need a diverse group of people that love Jesus and love me and encourage me and challenge me. I need people in my life with different experiences, with different perspectives and different backgrounds and even different political views, yet the same love for Jesus. And it challenges me and it teaches me how to love, and it helps me rethink my worldview, and it helps give me a handhold on my commitment to Jesus and an understanding of his kingdom, a better understanding of his kingdom. It is so good that I don't get to pick the people at Riverside who speak into me. I don't get to sort myself into the echo chamber that just tells me what I want to hear. No, I don't. It's a beautiful thing about our church. Oh, how we need the church. Which is why I've been so excited that these past couple of weeks, a few of our home groups have been opening up and experimenting meeting in person together. And if things in our state and things in our country continue to, go down the path they are going with the curve of COVID-19 maintaining flattened and such, we'll start easing back into gathering together on Sunday mornings, hopefully near the end of June. And again, if you're not comfortable with that, we're going to have to keep these videos going so you have the same content available to you on Sunday morning. But friends, this has been such a hard season, especially for me, because we've been intentionally not meeting together. Just to slow the spread of COVID-19, to flatten the curve. And because of that, it's brought us a great sense of loss. Because I need you. I really need you guys. So friends, in light of all the amazing theology of the first 9 chapters, the amazing things about our awesome, wonderful God, Jesus, let's draw near to God in faith together. Some of you, I want to encourage you this morning, draw near to God in faith. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Some of you are losing hope. Hold on, hold on, hold on. And friends, let us consider how we can spur one another on in love and good deeds. I want to encourage you, let's spur each other on together. Okay? At this time, I want to encourage you to meet with God. We're going to fade me out and bring in some singing and some songs with some words on the screen. Some of you will feel comfortable singing boisterously where you're at in your apartment or your house. Some of you already have a problem singing in a gathering, let alone when you're by yourself, whatever. Then just reflect upon the words. Meet with God. We're going to have some time here. There's some space for you to meet with God, to draw near to God in faith, to talk with God about the hope you have in Him, and to pray for people in our church that you love and you miss. So let me pray, and then let us do this. Let us do this together. God, I thank you for all the amazing things that we have seen about Jesus in the first 9 chapters of Hebrews. That you are better than anything and everything. And you are the creator, Jesus, the sustainer, Jesus. You are a great high priest, Jesus. You have demolished separation between us and God by the cross and by the resurrection. You are the reigning king of the universe. And God, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I pray as we sing these songs together that your nearness would be felt, that people would know your love and your grace. God, I pray that that people's faith would be strengthened. I pray that people's grip on hope would be firmed up. And God, I pray that we would all grow in love and good deeds. And God, we thank you for your love. We pray all this in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.